This is a growing season. People are busy in their gardens planting flowers and vegetables purchased in local nurseries. Maybe some of you started early by planting seeds to sprout some of your own plants. I was at a friend's place not long ago. They have a big, kind of a growing place where they have all kinds of seeds sprouting, and they gave me a couple of tomato plants and a little squash and a pepper. It's kind of a fun time of the year to watch those things begin to grow. Well, today's parables of Jesus have to do with planting and growing. And it's interesting to note that just as we have entered the season of Pentecost, it's the green season, you know, the season of growing in faith and service. In his parables, Jesus used examples from daily life to suggest a greater truth, to give us a picture of life in the kingdom of God and our part in the reign of God. It's interesting he chooses a lowly mustard seed as a symbol of God's kingdom. Have you ever seen a mustard seed? It is one of the smallest seeds, and it can grow into a very large bush. So what are the implications here? What is Jesus trying to tell us? I believe it is a parable about God's people, the church. We may start out very small, but we can grow in our baptismal faith to be a mighty force for good in this world. We can plant seeds of hope and healing that will bear much fruit. Planting seeds means we have to get our hands dirty, sometimes to move beyond our comfort zone, to be about God's work in the world. And it's true, this work can be messy and dirty because work in the world is messy and dirty, and the world is messy and dirty at times. Maybe we just as soon go off to a retreat center somewhere to pray and bask in God's wonderful presence. But just like the disciples, God calls us to go out into the world to share the gospel in word and deed. And the miracle is that through God's Spirit, this mustard bush of a church becomes larger than it normally would through God's help. You know, Jesus exaggerates a bit when he says, when sown up, the mustard plant becomes the greatest of all shrubs and puts forth its branches so birds of the air can make their nests in it. Well, the mustard seed grows into a bush, not a tree. But what Jesus is trying to say is that we can make a bigger impact than we could ever imagine. We can grow up to be more than we might ever dream if we follow God's lead, if we follow God's Spirit. Our Savior has been planting seeds of hope and healing for some time now. The outreach of this congregation is commendable as you seek to make a difference in this community and around the world. And now we've been given a new opportunity to make a difference in the lives of a refugee family. And heaven knows the plight of the refugees in this world is a dire one. A few weeks ago, you heard Sam Altus from Lutheran Refugee Services speak of the need for congregations to assist in welcoming and resettling those new to this country. A number of you have already responded to the call to serve, and Don Clements and I will be forming a Circle of Welcome team later this summer. We expect to be ready to receive a family sometime later this fall, so watch for ways that you can help with this important ministry of compassion and care and welcome. What does it mean to grow and serve beyond our comfort zone? Consider the following true story. His name was Dieter, and he grew up the son of privilege in a German Lutheran community in South Africa during the time of apartheid. He had witnessed some of the horrors of white oppression and wondered why the pastor of their all-white church never acknowledged what seemed to be a horrible injustice. He was not surprised, however, to find that when he went to the university in Cape Town, that most of the students there were white. What few black Africans were in attendance had to live in a dormitory separate from the other students. But the summer before he was to start seminary, there was a major sea change with the fall of apartheid and the election of Nelson Mandela as the first black African president of that country. Black and white Africans were suddenly thrown together, no longer separated. At the seminary, they were expected to live together in the same dorms, eat together, take classes together. Amazing at that time. And Dieter became close friends with several black African seminary students and was awestruck at their personal stories of overcoming difficulty and hardship and persecution and by their strong sense of call to public ministry. When he graduated from seminary, he felt a call to serve in the black church. But the churches were still segregated at that time, and there were enough black African pastors that he told that would not be possible. So he and his wife chose to come to the United States with the hopes of serving in a Lutheran congregation with some ethnic diversity. They were fortunate to be called to serve in an ELCA congregation just outside of Chicago. Prior to that, however, the ELCA requested that Dieter spend a semester in an American seminary learning about the culture as well as the ethos and polity of the Lutheran Church here in America. He was drawn to Wartburg Seminary in Dubuque because of its strong emphasis on community. It was there that I met Dieter. I was a senior at the time, just finishing my studies to be a pastor. Wartburg had become known for its role in pressing for Namibian independence from South Africa. In fact, what you may not know is the constitution for the country of Namibia was written at Wartburg Seminary in Dubuque, Iowa. And so it was there that Dieter felt right at home among the foreign students and their families. A number were black Africans from Namibia and Tanzania. At first, they viewed him with suspicion, this white man from South Africa. In fact, one African mother even claimed, "Because you are white, you cannot be one of us." After all, he was a member of the race that had ruled South Africa with oppressive power. But something changed in the coming months. As their children played together, oblivious to any ethnic differences, as they studied theology and as they prayed together, as they shared their common hopes and dreams for justice and equality in their homelands. And at the end of that academic year, when degrees were awarded and it was time to say goodbye, one of the black African women came up to Dieter and embraced him. She smiled as she confessed, "Whatever the color of your skin, you are truly my brother. You are truly my South African brother." It was the highest compliment he could have received, and tears of joy streamed down his face. And today, Dieter serves a racially mixed congregation in Chicago's South Side, where in the name of Christ, he continues to share his passion for justice and equality for the downtrodden and for the less fortunate. And this is what it means to be a faithful disciple in Christ's world today. That in all we do, in all we say, we do it in the name of Jesus for the sake of others. So where is it that you have been planted? Where your seed is to sprout and grow and bear fruit? Where is God calling us to share our gifts and to make a difference for good in this world? Martin Luther suggested that we are to live out our baptismal faith in our daily life, in all arenas of life. If we are at work or at school, that is where we are to faithfully serve God and others. We try to be the best store clerk, physician, educator, teacher, student. If we are out in the community doing volunteer work, we do so in the name of Christ and for the sake of others. If we are at home, whether we are husband or wife, parent or child, we conduct ourselves in a responsible, loving, and caring way. And finally, at church, we use our gifts to further God's mission through the work of our congregation. Today's gospel implies that God is the one who plants the seeds, and by the Spirit's nurture and power, we grow, putting forth branches to shelter others, bring God's hope and healing to the world. And lest we think we are too small to make a difference, consider again Jesus' comment that from the least of these, a small mustard seed, can come great things. So, if you think you may not have that many gifts or make a real difference, consider what God can do with that mustard seed. What God can do with and through you, through each one of us. And those that seem incapable of ushering in God's realm are precisely those that God chooses to empower. Consider the following example. It was a crisp February morning as a chilled crowd waited to catch MARTA. That's Atlantic's public rail system. If you've been in Atlanta, you've probably ridden on MARTA. I'd been in town for a seminar, and I joined perhaps 1,000 other commuters waiting for their trains that morning. And then I realized what seemed so strange and eerie, the total silence. 1,000 people and total silence? 1,000 people packed together, looking straight ahead or at their cell phones, each pretending the others didn't exist. And then came a woman's perky voice. "Good morning!" The greeting echoed throughout the station. 1,000 heads snapped in unison, scanning the space to find the source. The voice had come from a woman descending the escalator on the far side of the platform. "How y'all doing this morning?" she asked us. She practically sang her words. This petite African-American woman reached the bottom of the escalator and walked purposely to the edge of the throng. She grabbed a surprised businessman's hand. She shook it and she looked him in the eye. "Good morning. How you doing today?" The man broke into a smile and replied, "Just fine, thank you." Her clothes were a bit ragged, but her purposeful smile overcame her stature and appearance as she moved through the crowds, shaking hands and smiling freely. Finally, she looked across the tracks at the crowd on the other side of the platform. "How y'all folks over there doing this morning?" "Just fine," they shouted back. Now, everyone was listening. The woman looked around and announced, "God sent me here to cheer you up this morning. And that's the God of the Jew, the Christian, and any other religion you all brought along this morning, or you didn't bring along." Amazingly, the train station came alive with good-natured conversation, and as the people chatted with each other, few noticed the woman quietly disappear. And I've often wondered who that strange woman was who ascended the elevator and brought the warmth of God's love to that chilly February morning. But I have no doubt that God did send her that day. Just as God sends us out into the world every day to spread God's love around. Thanks be to God. Amen.